Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
But a new report by the Road Safety Authority and an Garda Síochána has found that over 400 people were seriously injured in collisions in the first half of this year. And Fine Gael TD for Galway East, Kieran Cannon, is with us here on Lunchtime Live to tell us a little bit about his own experience as a cyclist in Irish roads. Kieran, I saw a post that you put up on Twitter quite recently. Do you mind telling us what happened?
Yes, Andrea. I was the 2nd of July. I was cycling through the beautiful village of Moycullen between Galway City and Clifton, and a vehicle collided with my right-hand side, doing serious damage to my knee. It required surgery the following morning in University Hospital Galway. A very skilled team of surgeons and support staff gave me fantastic care. And I'm now on the road to recovery. It's going to be a very, very long road. The knee was very seriously injured. I can't put any weight on it for 3 months. And the whole rehab process will take something of the order of 12 to 18 months. So it's a long road back. But thankfully, I'm here to talk about it. And I'm on that road right now as we speak.
Tell us about that morning. Where were you going, Kieran, or what were you doing?
It was the afternoon. I was heading to Clifton. There was a charity cycle happening the next day from Clifton to Aircourt in East Galway, essentially crossing the whole of County Galway for one of our local cancer support centres here in Galway. So I decided to cycle out to Clifton that evening to join with the cycle at 8 a.m. the following morning on Saturday morning. So rather than being in Clifton at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I was in A&E in UHD, waiting for my surgery at that point.
So you're on the bike, you're all the gear, you're out doing the cycle, like you're taking part in a charity event. Do you recall what happened?
I do. I was heading west, and the vehicle that hit me was heading east. And just as we approached a particular point in the street in the middle of Moycullen village, there's a turn, an intersection. And as I approached that intersection, the vehicle coming from the other direction decided to take that intersection to literally cross the road to turn right. And I was in its path and it hit me on the right hand side. I went up onto the bonnet and then onto the road, and serious impact on the road as well. But thankfully, there were two off-duty firemen based in Clifton who took really good care of me and indeed some bystanders until the ambulance arrived. And as I say, the care I got was so professional and expert and caring, and I was very lucky to have access to that kind of care in University Hospital Galway.
So there were obviously witnesses and cyclists and, as you say, bystanders there too on the side of the road as well when all this happened. I can only imagine the panic, you know, when...
Yeah, I was on my own. The group I was cycling with, I wasn't to join them until the following morning. So I was on my own heading towards Clifton to join them on Saturday morning. So there were actually a couple of friends of mine just coincidentally happened to be sitting, having some food on the street.
Okay,
and saw the accident themselves. So they immediately came over to me and again took very good care of me. And the Gardaí were on the scene almost immediately as well. And the ambulance arrived just 15 minutes later. So the minute they saw me hitting the road, my friends, they rang the emergency services and the ambulance arrived very, very quickly.
Okay. You must have been in shocking pain, Kieran.
The body has an extraordinary ability to somehow block out the pain. And it wasn't until many hours later that the pain began to become pretty serious. But in the immediate aftermath of an accident like that, your body, your brain has the ability to kind of shut it out and allow you to, not to have to suffer the extent of the pain, because it was a very serious injury.
Yeah.
And thankfully, when the pain did become an issue again, it was very well managed by the team in UHD.
I think it was perhaps the following day that you posted on Twitter and you had a photograph, but maybe it was after the surgery. I remember you had a photograph of your leg really kind of in a cast or in a big bandage in hospital.
Yeah. The injury is called a tibial plateau fracture. It's essentially when your shin bone moves up to form your knee joint, it widens out into a plateau, which essentially takes all the weight of your body, your two knees. That plateau was in pieces after the accident. So the surgeons reassembled it using screws and plates and other materials, a major feat of engineering. So, and then so that you can, in aiding in your recovery, that don't put you into a cast anymore, because that would render your leg completely immobile. So they put you into a special brace that stabilizes your leg, but allows you still to have some freedom of movement, so that when you begin doing your rehab and your physio, you can have that freedom of movement, and so that your muscles don't atrophy completely. So it allows you some freedom. But as I say, you can't put any physical weight on the leg for 3 months, but you can still flex the knee and exercise your muscles as best you can, so that when you do begin to walk again, your ability to walk and to recover is much enhanced by not having had your leg in a cast as we had in the old days.
And it, as you mentioned, Kieran, there too at the outset, like you've a long couple of months, I suppose, of rehab now that comes with this too.
Yeah, first 3 months is no weight at all on the leg, and then there are exercises again. Great work from physios in the HSC advising you what to do. And then once you start putting weight on the leg, then the level of physio rehab becomes much more intense. But going from where I was before the accident and getting back to there again in terms of my fitness and my strength is going to take something of the order of a year to a year and a half. So it's a long journey, but at least I'm on the journey.
Well, I'm heading
in the right direction.
Yeah. You're a cyclist. You've been cycling a long time, Kieran. Like, has anything like this ever happened to you before?
It hasn't. And it's funny, you know, we all use the phrase, you know, cyclist, and cyclist can mean so many things.
I know.
You know, a nurse cycling to work this morning is a cyclist. A kid who takes the decision to cycle to a local school is a cyclist. And also there are those of us who, the middle-aged men in Lycra, sometimes the much derided middle-aged men in Lycra, who love cycling. To me, it's as much about the social aspect of it as about the exercise aspect. We're also cyclists. So, I mean, cyclist covers
a multitude. But I mean, you've been cycling socially, for a long time.
I have, for about 40 years.
40 years, right.
You know, when I was growing up in rural East Galway, where I still live, it was my way of getting, it was the only way of getting around, to be frank. Going to meet with your friends for hurling training or for, you know, whatever it might be, for a chat, the only way of getting there was your bike. You know, cycling in itself is a very safe thing to do. It's an inherently safe thing. It's only when you begin to mix cyclists with other road users with large, 2,000 kilograms of steel and glass, that cycling becomes dangerous. So, you know, when we were growing up in rural East Galway back in the 70s and 80s, everybody cycled everywhere. And I've been doing that ever since. Some people love their hurling, their football, their golf, their fishing. For me, it's my cycling. It's my mental and physical well-being is hugely reliant on being able to get on my bike, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes on my own and sometimes with great friends that I've made over the years through cycling.
You know, on this programme here, Lunchtime Live, Kieran, we frequently hear from callers into the programme that get in touch with us that want to talk about, you know, similar maybe incidents or, you know, near misses that they've had on the road, often cyclists. What's your own view as a cyclist? And I suppose given what's happened to you in recent weeks, what do you think our attitude is like to cyclists on the roads?
It's getting better, I would argue, and I would hope. You know, the Road Safety Authority, and indeed many, there are many though people now campaigning throughout the country to make our roads safer for all road users, cyclists, pedestrians, drivers. And the Road Safety Authority consistently has made the case, certainly over the last, I would argue, 2 to 3 years, that when your motorists are approaching cyclists on the road, they need to give them sufficient space just to be safe. And all that they ask is, you know, if you're that driver and you're approaching either an individual cyclist or a group of cyclists, you just take that few extra moments just to consider how vulnerable they are and consider for a moment, what if one of those people was your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter? And that's all that they ask. And that a little bit of time and consideration would be given in making that safe overtaking maneuver. Ultimately, we're all legitimate road users, no matter what source of transport you use, mode of transport you use, be you a pedestrian, a cyclist, a car driver, a truck driver, motorcyclist, whatever it may be, we all need to be deeply cognizant of one another's vulnerabilities and deeply respectful of one another. Almost every single road traffic fatality in this country could have and should have been avoided if we were just that little bit more considerate and respectful of one another. And that's all that we're trying to do here, is to make all of our roads safer for everyone. And the Road Safety Authority issued a report yesterday, which the conclusions of which some people might find surprising, but the most dangerous place you can be on a road now in Ireland is not in the middle of a city, you know, with tons of cars passing by on a minute-by-minute basis, but rather on a rural road from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So in broad daylight, on a rural road in Ireland is now the most dangerous place you can be, which really gives us pause for thought about how exactly we approach this problem in the future. And one of the overarching conclusions of that Road Safety Authority report is, and I quote, "There's an urgent need for road safety education and enforcement as the country begins to open up again after the pandemic." So that's something we really need to be careful about, and we need to work really, really hard at in terms of making people aware of each other's vulnerabilities. That's what it's all about.
How do we do that, Kieran? Like, is there a need for a greater awareness of cyclists as well? I know when I talk here in the programme to people, maybe motorists, when we have the conversation, I don't want to say the motorists versus cyclists and pedestrians and scooters and all of that.
We don't want to frame it in that way, because the vast majority of cyclists are also motorists.
I know, I accept that. But I suppose a lot of people that would contact the programme here would say they don't cycle because they're afraid to.
They are. I'm sure you may have noticed, Andrea, I certainly did, in the middle of the pandemic when we were in a really, really highly restricted in terms of our movements, the amount of people that I saw rooting around in their garage, taking out that dusty old bike, pumping up the tires and taking, was just phenomenal. So when people saw that there was an opportunity maybe of quiet roads, less risk attaching to cycling, I saw families out cycling that hadn't cycled in years. I saw friends of mine in their 40s and 50s who hadn't cycled since their teens out on their bikes again. So, you know, people want to cycle and people need to feel that when they make that decision, that it's a safe thing to do. Because as I said, cycling is inherently a very safe thing and a very healthy thing to do. So we need to be really, really careful in ensuring that when people make that decision, their welfare and their safety is protected as best we can.
What about the discussion that often kicks off on this topic as well, Kieran? I know not specifically due to your own personal circumstance what happened, but attacks for cyclists, if you want to call it that.
Well, that makes no sense. You might as well argue having attacks for pedestrians, for people walking on footpaths. There's this misnomer that, you know, cyclists don't pay road tax, therefore they have no entitlement to be. First of all, nobody in Ireland pays road tax. We pay motor tax, and a motor tax is calculated on the level of carbon emissions from the vehicle you're using. Cyclists don't emit any carbon emissions, ergo they don't pay any road tax. And all of us as taxpayers fund our national roads network. So what we need to realise here is that all of us pay for our roads. There is no hierarchy of road users where the rights of one particular category of road users overrule all others. We all need to be careful and considerate and be respectful of one another's right to be on that road and to be on that road safely. So, again, it's a nonsense argument, Andrea, and it's trotted out every now and again. Thankfully, less and less in recent years, but it's still there and lingering.
Just a final point, Kieran, because just when we're talking, I suppose, you know, you mentioned ways maybe to encourage more people to cycle. During the pandemic, just when you mentioned more people back out on the roads and on bicycles, you know, there were more bollards, if you want to call them that, certainly erected around Dublin for cyclists. Yeah. I mean, Galway and traffic is another hot topic that often arises here on the show too. Is there a place for that in Galway and even, you know, like dash cam footage?
There most certainly is. And if you look at some of the examples of what has happened during the pandemic, I will consistently cite the fantastic work of Dunleary Rathdown Council, who have essentially almost overnight, within a very short time frame, developed a fantastic network of cycleways, particularly along the coast there in Blackrock and Dunleary. Fantastic work, driven primarily by one individual. And there's no reason why every other local authority in the country couldn't follow in that vein. Eamon Ryan, within a few days of being appointed to the role of Minister for Transport, committed to spending €1 million a day for the lifetime of this government on cycling infrastructure. So it's not a case of the resources not being there. It's simply a case of everybody needs to be exceptionally ambitious in providing the kind of safe cycling network that we deserve to have in every one of our towns and cities. You think for a moment, and I don't know how well you know Galway City.
Oh, I went to college there, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, would you believe that there are 64,000 people living within a 20-minute cycle of Eyre Square? You know, that's a phenomenal amount of people.
Well, I know traffic in Galway was a problem when I was there, Kieran, in 2007. And we're still talking about traffic in Galway.
We are.
You know, in 2021.
So, I mean, a significant part of the solution to Galway's traffic problems is making it easy for that student, that nurse, that teacher, anybody who wants to make a journey in a tiny, what in global terms is a tiny city. You could cycle across Galway City from one end to the other in 30 minutes, you know, if you had the infrastructure to do so. And it's the same in Limerick, in Waterford, in Cork, and all of our other large cities. So, you know, nobody can say at this point it can't be done.
Okay.
Because some local authorities have done it to an extraordinarily powerful effect. And others need to follow their example and as soon as possible.
Kieran, I really appreciate you talking to us. You're obviously, I take it you're working from home as a constituency, work from home at the moment,
Laptop in front of you.
Right, you're like many others, so
working away, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Kieran, mind yourself and I hope recovery goes well. And look, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Not at all. Thank you for the opportunity.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.